Blog Talk Radio.
Because God's trying to tell you I'm going to do it this week. Run, mama, run. That's it. Prophesy. I got to preach. I ain't got a whole lot of time. But will you push your neighbor and tell him God said he's going to do it this week? God said he's going to do it this week. Okay, y'all. Come on, get your Bible. Let's turn our attention to the screen. I don't have a whole lot of time. If you was going to shout, you should have shouted by now. Come on. Come on, Tyra Hill. I got to get out of here. I got 18 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. I just got a conviction in my spirit that the longer it takes me to praise, the longer it takes God to do what I asked him to do. But if I praise God quick, I believe God going to respond. See, some of y'all still waiting on your flesh. You still waiting on your mind to catch up with your spirit. You got to make your... You got to call your mind subject to your spirit. I don't care what it looks like. The man of God said it's going to happen this week. If God didn't want you to hear it, he'd have let you overslept. You in the room because God wanted you to hear me say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this week. Come on. I'm going to do it this week. Talking, that's okay. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing then. Just stand up in here and look cute. Don't say nothing. You're going to have to wait another week, but I'm decreeing and declaring what I've been waiting on God to do, it's going to happen. Push your neighbor, tell him you better say something or get off my road. You better say something. God's going to do it. Come on. Hebrews. Y'all so rebellious. Sit down, please. Sit down. Come on, tell your friend to sit down. You didn't wait it this long. You can wait another week. You can wait to June. You didn't wait it this long. Just you ain't in no rush. You ain't. I got some demons I need God to kill this week. I got some devils I need God to deal with. Somebody said before I leave this building, I got some... Y'all all in my time, but I need somebody to scream like by the time you get in your car. Y'all excuse me, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody praise him. I feel that in my spirit. By the time you get in your car, whatever you want to do, Jesus. However you want to fix it, Lord. Yeah. Ah, Lord. Ah, Lord. Come on, let's go. I feel churchy and I got to preach some of y'all. Some of y'all don't need a break. You just came to get a word. I'm sorry, but it's about 326 of y'all that say, I need a breakthrough. Come on, get your Bible.
It's never gonna come through. My God, my God, my God. I'm sorry. It was a praise needed this morning. Welcome, welcome to World Gospel Connection. First of all, to God, who's the head of my life, come on in. Get your pen and paper ready. It's a word from the Lord, from the pastor that's coming on this morning. First, just want to give a shout-out to all the countries that's listening in. Excuse me, the United States, Canada, Brazil, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe, South Africa, China, Hong Kong, Germany, Bulgaria, Russia, Mexico, United Kingdom, Paris, Japan, South Korea, India, and Ireland. My God. Thank you guys for tuning in. Apostle, I appreciate the support from all over the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Know that we are praying on this side of the globe for you. Some of y'all can't pray openly or even let anybody see you pray, but know that you have family on this side of the world that's praying and interceding for you. You're not in this fight by yourself. Remember, continue to walk by faith and not by sight. God loves you. He never left you. It might seem like you're going through a rough time right now, but the storm will not last. Remember, the scripture says, the weapon may form, but it will not prosper. Hold on to God's loving hands. Keep pushing forth. Don't fold. Don't give up, men and women of God. Your blessing is right there. It's in reach. Press. Keep having faith the size of a mustard seed. Keep pressing in spite of what you see. Look with your spiritual eyes, not your regular eyes. God is right there with you. He's right there. Apostle and I say this all the time. This is no judgment zone. We can't judge you. We don't care about what you did last night, nor this morning, nor this God. All he wants is a one-on-one time with just you and him, and he'll take care of the rest. Hold your head up. You're a child of a king. And walk in your authority. We're going to go to a musical break, and we'll be back. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak, or if you need prayer.
Yes, there were times in my life when I thought I would never.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. He said give a praise to his name this morning. If you're going through something or you've been through something this week, this was just for you. He turned it around. God will not do anything that he can't take care of. Remember Jeremiah 29 and said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Hold on, people of God. Don't fold. Your blessing is right there. I'm sorry, not sorry, but it was just time to praise him strong this morning. He is in the building. Get yourself together. Get ready to hear a word from the woman of God. I'm excited. When you have like-minded people to come on and deliver a word from God, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Reverend Dawson, are you on?
Good morning. Yes, ma'am. I am. God bless you.
Good morning, woman of God. It was just praise time this morning. I just couldn't help it. The floor is yours. The floor is yours, woman of God. I'm going to unmute. I'm excited. I have my pen and paper ready.
Glory, hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord already. The Holy Spirit is here. My gosh. I first want to thank God for yet another day. Thanking God for another opportunity just to say thank you. Help me. Thank you for just being God all by yourself. Thanking you for this opportunity. Honored for such a time as this that only God can allow. Thank you. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I ask that you come on this line in this very hour. I ask God that you get self out, get me out the way as I decrease for you to increase. Not my will, but thy will be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I also want to thank you, Prophetess, for allowing me this opportunity. God bless you. God keep you. May God continue to shower upon your ministry as you go forth, you and your husband's ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God has a tendency to change the plan. I was originally going to speak on something else, but as I was awakened this morning, I was awakened three words that was in my spirit. First, I ask all of this, not my will, but that Jesus, that not my will, but thy will be done in Jesus' name. Forgive me, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So as I was awakened this morning, it was the three words that I heard, and it was faith moves mountains. Faith moves mountains. And instantly, I said, okay, God, you're going to have to help me with this one because now you have changed the plan. So the scripture that I was given this morning was Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, help me. Because of your unbelief. Who am I talking to this morning? For verily I say unto you, my gosh, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, come on, ye shall say unto this mountain, my gosh, remove hence to yonder place, my gosh, and it shall be removed. Come on, come on. And nothing, I need you all to hear me all over the world this morning. Listen, nothing shall be impossible unto you. What is this saying? That if someone's belief and confidence are strong enough, come on, they can achieve, my gosh, something, come on, something that seems to be difficult, come on, something that seems to be impossible for you, come on, is not too hard for God, come on. What is faith? Faith is the assurance, you all, that the things revealed and promised in the Word are true, come on, even though unseen. Yeah, yeah. See, you don't have to see that thing to believe that God is powerful enough to bring it to pass, come on. It and give the believer, come on, a conviction that what he expects in faith, come on, will come to pass. Yeah. You have to have expectation that what you have petitioned to God, come on, is sure to come to pass. Come on. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, my gosh. Hebrews 11 and 1, it basically gives us an assurance, listen, is being certain about realities we believe are true, come on, but we cannot see with our physical eyes. Help me, Holy Spirit, listen, God's word also says that without faith, you all, come on, it is impossible to please God. Help me, Holy Spirit, listen. To have faith in Jesus Christ means to trust him, come on, and obey his commandment, come on. Faith is much more than a passive belief. You have to believe that. We express our faith through action, come on, by the way we live. Hear me, hear me, hear me. Faith is in general the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. Come on. Philippians 1 and 27. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. Its primary idea is trust. Come on. A thing is true. Come on. And therefore worthy of trust. Come on. It admits of many degrees up to full assurance of faith, oh my gosh, in accordance with the evidence on which it rests. Come on, come on. My gosh, listen, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, not some, not partial, but in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Who is him? We acknowledging God. And he shall direct thy path. See, faith is defined as belief with strong conviction, firm belief in something for which there may be no tangible proof. Come on. Complete trust is what God is seeking. Confidence in God is what he's seeking. Reliance or devotion. Are we devoted to God? Listen, faith is the opposite of doubt. We as children of God must have strong belief. Come on. We must trust. Come on. We must have the faith that God will bring whatever it is that we have prayed about. He's powerful enough to bring it to pass. Listen, we must not become weary, saints, children of God, in our well-doing, because we shall reap if we faint not. Come on. God wants us to trust him. Come on. God wants us to judge him as faithful. Without faith, you all, it is impossible to please God. Ooh. It pleases God, come on, to bless you, come on, oh my gosh, and abide in you, come on. It pleases God to bless you, come on, and love you, come on, and abide in you, come on, and even look at you, come on. Can I trust her? Come on. Can I trust him? Come on. Can I trust him? Oh, my God. Luke 8:25. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Mm-hmm. See, that was a question that God was asking him. I need to repeat that again. And he said unto them, where is your faith? That was a question that God was asking. Mm-hmm. And they being afraid wondered, my gosh, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth, my gosh, even the wind and water, and they obey him. Help me, Holy Spirit. I don't have much time, listen, but I have a couple of declarations that I need you to start declaring. Start decreeing over your life. I delight myself in the word of the Lord. I need you to declare this on this morning. Therefore, I am blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in my house, and my righteousness endureth forever. Psalms 112:1-3. Let your spirit power me, O Lord, to attain, sustain, and enjoy success in Jesus' name. I got another one for you. My joy shall multiply at the end of this month. I shall therefore count blessings and sorrows in Jesus' name. I remember the Lord my God, for it is he, come on, that giveth me, come on, power to get well. If you don't believe me, why don't you go to Deuteronomy 8:18. I have another one for you. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. Proverbs 8:18. It's word, y'all. I got another one. I am crowned with wealth. Proverbs 14:24. I know the grace. Here's a fifth one for you. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, come on, yet for my sake he became poor, that through his poverty, come on, I might be rich. Come on, 2 Corinthians 8:9. Make sure you get these scriptures down. I have a sixth one for you. I shout for joy. Let the Lord be magnified, come on, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Come on, Psalm 35:27. The Lord is my shepherd. Why don't you go to Psalm 23:1? Come on. Number 8. The Lord prepares. Come on. You have to believe that the Lord prepares a table before me. Come on, declare this. In the presence of my enemies, come on. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Psalms 23:5. Come on. How much time do I have? Come on, come on. I have number 9. Listen, the blessings of the Lord makes me rich, and he adds no trouble. Come on. He adds no trouble to it. Come on. Proverbs 10:22. Come on. I receive wealth from the Lord and the good health to enjoy it. Come on. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Come on. What is 11? I am blessed. Come on. Because I trust in the Lord. Come on. I reverence the Lord. Come on. Therefore, there is no want in my life. Come on. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Come on. But I shall not want any good thing. Come on. Psalms 34:8-10. Come on. What is 12 saying? I have given, shall be given unto me. Come on. Ooh. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I need you to declare that over your life this morning. Shall men give into my bosom? Come on. For with the same measure, you all, that I meet, my God, whither it shall be measured to me. My God, it shall be measured to me again. Luke 6 and 38. Come on. I have a number 13 for you. Listen. God is able to make all grace abound, come on, toward me, that I, help me, always having all sufficiency, hear me, here it is, in all things, come on, not some, but in all things, come on, may have an abundant, my gosh, for every good work, come on. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. Listen what 14 says. I need you to declare this. I am prospering in every way. My keeps well, come on, even as my soul, hear me, keeps well and prosper. 3 John and 2. I want you to read it. I have 15 for you. Listen. Whatsoever I ask the Father, listen, in the name of his Son Jesus, listen, he will give it to me. John 16 and 23. I need you to go back and read these and start declaring these over your lives and expect manifestations. Expect God turning that situation around. Come on. 16. Abraham, blessings are mine. Come on. Yeah, yeah. You can decree that. That Abraham, blessings are mine. Galatians 3 and 14. Come on. 17. What things soever I desire when I pray. See, that's the key. When you pray, come on. When you pray, you have to have faith and believe and trust in God's word. Come on. That if he said it, he's powerful enough to do it. Ooh, what things soever I desire when I pray, I believe that I have received them. And I shall have them. Come on. Why don't you try read Mark 11 and 24? Less than what 18 says. You all, how much time I have? Less than what 18 says. I delight myself in the Lord. Come on. And he gives me the desires of my heart. Oh, my God. Psalm 37 and 4. Come on. 19. Listen. I seek first, come on, the kingdom of God, my gosh, therefore everything I need shall be added unto me. Luke 12 and 31, yeah, yeah, yeah. These are declarations, yeah, that I decree over my life on a daily. And I'm now starting to see the manifestation because God's word don't lie. Come on, come on, come on. What does 20, I have a 20 for you all. Listen, the wealth of the wicked, come on, the wealth of the sinner, come on, is laid up for me. Yeah, my God. Proverbs 13 and 22. What is 21? I'm almost done, y'all. I'm almost done. Listen to what number 21 is. My inheritance, my God, shall be forever. Help me, Holy Spirit. Listen, I shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Come on. And in the days of famine, come on. I'll be satisfied, my God. Psalms 37, 18 and 19. I hope you all write these scriptures down. I want you to go back and decree and declare every day these declarations and wait for God. Come on, come on, come on. What is 22 saying, you all? Every burden shall be taken away, come on, from off my shoulder, my gosh, and every yoke, hey, from off my neck, woo, and the yoke shall be destroyed, come on, because of the anointing. Y'all ain't hear me. Isaiah 10 and 27, listen, what does 23 say, you all? I am like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, woo. Everything I do shall prosper. Hey, my God, Psalms 1 and 3. Ooh, 24, I will not faint, my God, for in due time, come on, you have to know that you will not faint, come on, that for in due time, time, come on, and at the appointed time, hallelujah, the appointed time, in that season, you all, you have to believe that you shall reap, that you will reap if you faint not. Galatians 6 and 9, come on. What is 25? I'm almost done, you all. My God supplies all of my needs according to his riches in glory, my God, by Christ. Ooh, by Christ Jesus. Come on, come on. I need to read that again. My God supplies all of my needs. Come on. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why don't you go to Philippians 4:19? It speaks for itself. God's word cannot lie. Come on. I'm almost done here, you all. 26. Come on. Oh, Lord. I rebuke the spirit of barrenness. And I pronounce unstoppable prosperity in Jesus' name, my God. I command the miraculous and total recovery of everything the enemy has stolen from me. Hey, my family and loved ones, in the name of Jesus, help me. Listen, my God, what 27 says. I receive total deliverance from the curse of poverty. Listen, I'm going to say that again. I receive total deliverance from the curse of poverty and affliction that has ever plagued my family and my family line. Hey, listen, I will live, hear me, to transfer, listen, prosperity to my posterity in Jesus' name. What is 28 saying? You all, I'm almost done. Father Lord, whatever weapon or tricks of the enemy, woo, to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen, we're going to reverse it. Listen, destroy them, listen, with their weapon forever, listen, in Jesus' name. Listen, I will enjoy, hear me, the surplus of heaven. Ooh, to achieve, come on, my purpose, come on, and have leftovers, hear me, in Jesus' name. 29, I'm almost done. Father, Lord, I mean, by your mighty power, by the power in the blood of Jesus, fire of the Holy Ghost, scatter and destroy any hindering spirit around me. Declare it in the name of Jesus. Help me. 30, I'm almost done. By the Holy Spirit, I station guardian angels and warring angels of fire to my open doors and divine favor in Jesus' mighty name. Lift your hands, hold ye gates, and be ye lift up, hallelujah, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I declare that you decree these declarations over your lives. But listen, I have one more for you, and I'll be done. You have brought me into a land, come on, woo, with scotchness, without, no, help me, the devil is a lie, I'm going to get this right. You have brought me into a land without scarceness or lack. Help me, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Deuteronomy, all in nine. Listen, all grace abounds toward me because I have all sufficiency in all things, woo-hoo, and abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Listen, my head is anointed with oil. Y'all need to hear me. And my cup runs over. Psalms 23:5. You lead me into the land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, Lord, I declare that you decree on this morning that your faith shall no longer unwaver. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't need you looking at that thing. I don't need you looking at that situation. I don't need you. I don't need you looking at that bank account. I don't need you looking that when your children don't want to act right. But I need you to have faith in God and believe that whatever it is that you petition to God, you need to believe on today that it is so. In Jesus' name, I decree and declare every declaration that I spoke unto you on this morning, that you receive it in your spirit and believe that it is so. That it is so. That it is so. That it is so. In Jesus' name. It is so. In Jesus' name. It is so. In Jesus' name. Your faith will move your mountain. I decree on today that your faith, that your faith will move the mountain that has been bestowed upon your life. I need to turn it over to you. I need to turn it back over to your prophet. I can't help myself.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Faith, faith. Where is your faith? Faith, faith. Have your faith. Remember, having a faith size of a mustard seed can move mountains, people of God. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't fold. Hold on, hold on. Don't fold. Father God, I ask you to give back what your daughter gave out to your people this morning, Lord. Bless us tremendously from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, Heavenly Father. You know the needs and the desire, Lord. It's a secret place where you and her meet. You already know, Father God. And as you just touch and agree with your daughter right now, Heavenly Father. Have your way in her life and in her children's life, Lord. Send an abundant blessing for her, Lord. Cover her, Lord. Bind the enemy up right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That she has a word for your people. And thank you for giving her the word for your people today, Lord. And we praise your name, Heavenly Father, and we thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Reverend Dawson, thank you for coming on and giving that word. Let the audience know how they can reach you, if they want to book you, if they want to visit, and if you have anything upcoming where the people can come out and support.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for honoring me this opportunity. My ministry is Women of Worth, Women of Power. Women of Worth, Women of Power. This is a ministry that was launched in December of 2018. God says, write the vision and make it plain. You can reach me. I have two Facebook pages. I have a Women of Worth, Women of Power Facebook page, and also my regular Facebook page where I can be reached at that's Facebook Yolanda Dawson. I also have Instagram, but I'm not set up actually on Instagram as of yet. I have an upcoming event that's going to be taking place August the 26th through the 28th of 2022. Women of Worth, Women of Power Ministries, I Will Glorify God Empowerment Retreat that'll take place in the city of Southfield, Michigan. If you would like to come and be a part of this retreat, you can go to the Eventbrite under I Will Glorify God, Women of Worth, Women of Power. About it, my email address, if you would like to get in contact with me, through email is Dawson. It's Dawson Yolanda. 334@gmail.com.
feel free to reach out. You can email me. You can send a messenger through Facebook. And if you would like to just contact me through phone, that would be the area code 313. That's Michigan area code 313-633-4120. Thank you once again. Thank you.
Okay. For this opportunity. And if you guys didn't get the information from Reverend Dawson, please reach out to me. I would definitely connect you guys. You can email us. You can inbox us as Worldwide Gospel Connection on Facebook, or you can text me at 832-519-7646, and I would definitely connect you with a woman of God. Get ready for that retreat. If you don't have plans, make plans. Go to Eventbrite. Sign up and come get healed and push to your destiny. Some people need a midwife. And that's exactly what this retreat is going to do. It's going to birth out what's in you. Thank you so much, woman of God, for coming on Living That Word. I love when I ask somebody to come on Living the Word, and they don't think about themselves. They think about God. And I thank you for that. And I'm honored to have you on the show this morning.
To God be the glory. And I pray that God give you everything that your heart desire in Jesus' name. And it is so.
Amen. I receive that with open arms. We're going to go to a musical break. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. If you want a replay, you can always go back. I post it on my page as well as Reverend Dawson's page and as well as Worldwide Gospel Connection. Remember, continue to walk by faith and not by sight.
What you want to do, God? Be God in this room. Be God in this place today. And that'll be more than enough. Blow my mind. Blow my mind. You can do it. Blow my mind. Do the impossible. Anybody desire that today? Come on, tell them.
Blow my mind.
Oh God, you can blow
my mind.
You have the ability, God, to that with us. I need you to know
that God can do anything. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, God can do anything. I need you to find somebody. Just look them in the eye for me and tell them that God can do anything. I don't know what you're believing for today. Oh, but God can do anything. Come on, if you're watching online, I need you to just raise that witness. Every voice, say,
God can do anything.
He's able to do it. Oh, you're able.
God can do anything.
You're strong enough, God. You're big enough, God.
God can do anything.
Is there anything too hard? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I need somebody to let your faith rise in this moment and declare, God can do anything.
God can do anything.
You can do exceeding abundantly. Above all you can have good think.
God can do anything.
He's able to do whatever you need him to do. Just declare,
God can do anything.
My God is able. He's strong enough. He's big enough.
God can do anything.
Virginia, and I was at a school called Liberty University, and the pastor came up to me and he said, Pastor Tasha, three of our students, they went to the mountain to worship, and on the way back down, they got into a car accident, and one of them, she's paralyzed and she's not responding to the doctors, and he said, we're going to pray together. There were 10,000 students from 90 different nations, and we all begin to lift up one God. His name is Jesus. And as we begin to declare that there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, they told me that the student, they were airing that worship service in her bed, in her hospital bedroom. And as they begin to watch, we started saying, I hear the chains falling. And the more we declared, I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling, and they're breaking off of Ruthie's life now. Because God, you are a healer. Her name was Ruthie. The teacher came back to me. He tapped me on the shoulder. He said, I have a text message I need to show you. He said, as we begin to worship today, I got this text message from Ruthie's mom who said, as we begin to declare that the chains were breaking, she began to move her legs. So let me give you some clarity here. The doctors told her mother that the brain, her brain activity would never respond and would never recover the way that it had before. The doctors told her mother that it was a strong possibility that she would never walk again. But God can do anything. I'm talking to some people in this room. The enemy has tried to tell you that that situation is impossible for God, and he can't touch that, and so you put that thing on the back burner. But I came to declare that God can do. So 2 days ago, I got a DM in my Instagram. It said, hi, my name is Ruthie. She said a year and a half ago, you came to Liberty University, and I was a student who received the miracle. And she said, I just want to come to Greenville, South Carolina, to hug your neck, because God used you to help save my life. Ruthie, can you come up here for a minute? I declare that Ruthie is walking, that Ruthie is talking, that Ruthie has all youth and activity of her limbs, because we serve a God who can do anything but fail. Somebody lift up your eyes, tell the God can do anything. I need somebody to raise up a praise. Lift up your voice and declare it. God can do anything. We have a living witness right here in front of us that God is a God who still heals. And we call on Jehovah Rapha in this room. If you needed an example, he calls an example to walk right up in this door for you. I declare that God is healing bodies, that cancer has to shrink, that diabetes has to go, that migraine headaches have to go by the power. All right, I'm going straight into the scripture. Y'all pray for me. We're doing a lot of traveling in this season, but God is absolutely amazing, and I love what he's doing in our lives. And so we're headed back to the West Coast to do a show tonight, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. But I had to come to Women Who Win and spend some time with my family and release the word that God has given us today. Are y'all excited about the word? I love y'all. So we're going to John, the 21st chapter, the 5th through the 6th verse. John 21, 5 through 6, and I'm going to read it out of the NIV today, if that's all right. Let's all stand together, all right? We'll do it. We're going to do what we do together. We win together. We stand together. Y'all loosen up. Y'all good? Y'all know I'm like Pentecostal holiness, so I might jump off the stage. You know, I have to get it. I might scream a little bit. I need y'all to scream back at me. It's all right. You know, it's all right to get a little wild sometimes, all right? The 5th verse says, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. God bless your word. You can have your seats. And I honor our apostle today, Apostle Hilliard. I love you, Dad. You rocking the glasses. I love your glasses, all right? So the year was 2002, possibly 2003. I had been driving my gold Ford Escort since my senior year of high school. It was my first car. I loved it so much. I remember riding around my hometown of Jessup, Georgia, with a car full of people. I got Jessup folk in here. Hey, girl. I'm still trying to figure out how in the world we got so many girls in that car. Anyway, that car was good to me. As long as I kept the oil changed, everything was just fine. I'm going to take a sidebar right there because I heard Holy Spirit say to me as I was writing this that some of us simply need to make sure we keep our oil checked. When was the last time you had an oil change? When was the last time you did a soul search of anything in your life that has come to contaminate your oil? Look at your neighbor and ask them, is it time to have your oil checked? Is it time to have your... It's time to clear out anything and anyone who has come in to try and taint your anointing. I feel this in this room. Some of us gonna leave this conference and we gotta go cut some people off oil. I feel Jesus. Now back to my story. I was riding good, living my best life in my Escort. But one day I happened to ride by a car lot that had the prettiest, shiniest Isuzu Trooper sitting right by the highway, and it caught my attention. Anybody ever been doing just fine, going about your business, everything running smooth, then suddenly something catches your attention and hijacks your focus? Something that looks prettier than what you have, looks more shiny, looks bigger, badder, and better than what you have. And as soon as you engage it, as soon as you give it your attention, your time, and your energy, you find out real quick that you have made a huge mistake. You start thinking thoughts like, man, I could have done bad by myself, or I was doing better without this issue. They used to say it like this: the grass just looks greener on the other side. Anyway, I saw this Trooper, and I just had to have it. It grabbed a hold of my soul, and it wouldn't let me go. I dreamt about it. I daydreamed about it. I had to have it. I went home. I told my mom and daddy that I saw this car that I really wanted and that I wanted to trade in my faithful, committed Ford Escort for this used, water-damaged, poor-engine, shiny Isuzu Trooper. Of course, like most mothers in here, my mother immediately said no, because the part of the story that I neglected to tell you is that the car that I wanted to trade in on this shiny piece of junk was in my parents' name. Though mama was giving me an absolute no, my father did something really strange. He said, if she wants the car, I'm going to let her get the car. Mind you, I had never made a move without an approval. All right, I'm going straight into the scripture. Y'all pray for me. We're doing a lot of traveling in this season, but God is absolutely amazing, and I love what he's doing in our lives. And so we're headed back to the West Coast to do a show tonight, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. But I had to come to Women Who Win and spend some time with my family and release the word that God has given us today. Are y'all excited about the word? I love y'all. So we're going to John, the 21st chapter, the 5th through the 6th verse. John 21, 5 through 6, and I'm going to read it out of the NIV today, if that's all right. Let's all stand together, all right? We'll do it. We're going to do what we do together. We win together. We stand together. Y'all loosen up. Y'all good? Y'all know I'm like Pentecostal holiness, so I might jump off the stage. You know, I have to get it. I might scream a little bit. I need y'all to scream back at me. It's all right. You know, it's all right to get a little wild sometimes, all right? The 5th verse says, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. God bless your word. You can have your seats. And I honor our apostle today, Apostle Hilliard. I love you, Dad. You rocking the glasses. I love your glasses, all right? So the year was 2002, possibly 2003. I had been driving my gold Ford Escort since my senior year of high school. It was my first car. I loved it so much. I remember riding around my hometown of Jessup, Georgia, with a car full of people. I got Jessup folk in here. Hey, girl. I'm still trying to figure out how in the world we got so many girls in that car. Anyway, that car was good to me. As long as I kept the oil changed, everything was just fine. I'm going to take a sidebar right there, because I heard Holy Spirit say to me as I was writing this that some of us simply need to make sure we keep our oil checked. When was the last time you had an oil change? When was the last time you did a soul search of anything in your life that has come to contaminate your oil? Look at your neighbor and ask them, is it time to have your oil checked? Is it time to have your... It's time to clear out anything and anyone who has come in to try and taint your anointing. I feel this in this room. Some of us gonna leave this conference and we gotta go cut some people off because they've been contaminating our oil. They've been contaminating our oil. I feel Jesus. Now back to my story. I was riding good, living my best life in my Escort. But one day I happened to ride by a car lot that had the prettiest, shiniest Isuzu Trooper sitting right by the highway, and it caught my attention. Anybody ever been doing just fine, going about your business, everything running smooth, then suddenly something catches your attention and hijacks your focus? Something that looks prettier than what you have, looks more shiny, looks bigger, badder, and better than what you have. And as soon as you engage it, as soon as you give it your attention, your time, and your energy, you find out real quick that you have made a huge mistake. You start thinking thoughts like, man, I could have done bad by myself, or I was doing better without this issue. They used to say it like this: the grass just looks greener on the other side. Anyway, I saw this Trooper, and I just had to have it. It grabbed a hold of my soul, and it wouldn't let me go. I dreamt about it. I daydreamed about it. I had to have it. I went home. I told my mom and daddy that I saw this car that I really wanted and that I wanted to trade in my faithful, committed Ford Escort for this used, water-damaged, poor-engine, shiny Isuzu Trooper. Of course, like most mothers in here, my mother immediately said no, because the part of the story that I neglected to tell you is that the car that I wanted to trade in on this shiny piece of junk was in my parents' name. Though mama was giving me an absolute no, my father did something really strange. He said, if she wants the car, I'm going to let her get the car. Mind you, I had never made a move without an approval from my father. I had never bought a thing without an okay from him. I had never made any life-altering decisions without a word from my father. But this time was different. He basically said, I'm going to sit this one out and let her try this one on her own. She wants to do this one without a word from me, so I'm going to let her go ahead and do it. How many times have we launched out in our own and done something without hearing a word from the Father concerning the situation? That's a dangerous place to be in. It's one thing to make a decision to just go ahead and do something outside of his will, but it's another thing to have never asked his will in the first place. I felt like I was grown. I felt like I was grown enough to make this decision on my own, and that's just what my father allowed me to do. Can I tell you that before I could drive the car off the lot, it was breaking down on me? About 2 weeks after buying the car, I was over it. I refused to drive it. Anybody in here who knows me, I can be a little stubborn sometimes. I looked at that car and said, I give up. You're not going to defeat me. I'll never drive you again. So the car just sat in the yard until my brother stole it and decided to drive it himself. It was just that terrible. Here's the part that I like about this story, and I pray that it blesses you. After letting me make this bad decision, after letting me trade in his perfect Escort, after having to allow me to drive his cars for weeks, finally, my father stepped in and said, in order to fix this, you're going to have to do X, Y, Z. And don't worry, I'm going to coach you through every step. After I handled my business with this lemon car and waited for things to clear up, my father then walked me through the process of purchasing a car that was right for me, and he didn't leave me until his promise was fulfilled. I came to talk to two groups of people today. One group of us made a few decisions that spiraled our lives out of control, got us off focus, and set us off course. And the other group of us, we've just been in a posture of waiting. Waiting to see when the reward from our sacrifice is going to show up. Waiting to see when the prophecies and the promises are going to come to pass. Or we're waiting on our nets to be be filled. I came here with one purpose, and that was to tell you that the wait is over. No, 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 I need y'all to get more excited than that. I need somebody to scream it in this room. The wait is over. The wait is over. I need you to say it until your situation starts to respond. Look at your sister and tell her the wait is over. The wait is over. There are some promises that were spoken over your family that you haven't seen yet. Well, I came to declare to you that the wait is over. There are some promises that were spoken over your businesses that you haven't seen yet. And I came to declare to you that the wait is over. There are some promises that were spoken over your children that you haven't seen yet. And I came to tell you that the wait is over. Do we have anybody in this room who can believe a prophetic word from the Lord? I'm sorry, y'all. This is all I have. It's all I got. I'm a prophetic preacher, and I came to release you into your next place. Somebody scream, the wait is over. It's over. It's over. And I heard Holy Spirit tell me to tell you that Jesus is going to stay right there with you until you get it. Some of us have been saying before we came to this conference that it's been months since I felt the tangible, undeniable presence of God. Well, I came to tell you that he's here and you're about to experience his presence like never before. The wait is over. The wait is over. Let's get to this passage. I love this story. The story takes place after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The disciple Simon Peter, who was a fisherman by trade. Somebody say that he was a fisherman by trade. Remember that he denied Jesus during the time of the crucifixion. Now that Jesus was back, Peter wasn't completely sure if he still held a special place in Jesus' heart. I must take a moment right here and let somebody know that there is no place you can go, nothing you can do, no crime you can commit that would cause Jesus to turn his back on you or deny you his love. He loves you. He died for you. He was resurrected for you. And if that was all you needed to hear in order for you to give him your whole life, we will stop this entire service right now just for you. Somebody give God a praise and lift up a praise in this room. If you were living in a world of sin and the blood of Jesus saved your life anyway. That's a tired praise. I need somebody who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He reached down in the muck and the miry clay and got you up out of that sick, sin, sick situation and saved your life in spite of your life. Somebody give God a praise in this room. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. So because Peter wasn't sure if he still carried any weight as a disciple, he decided that he would go back to his old job and take a stab at it. When Peter told a few of the other disciples that he was going out to fish, they told him that they would go with him. I feel another sidebar. Make sure you got some friends who won't leave you alone in your low place. This is a women's conference. Make sure you're surrounded by people who will be by your side when you're being challenged with the cares of life. It doesn't say it in this text, but I just believe that these other disciples weren't so concerned about catching fish as they were concerned about Peter's well-being. The Bible says that they stayed in the boat all night long, but caught not one fish. Let me tell you about me. Right about the third or fourth hour, if I wasn't concerned about catching fish, I would have been saying, all right, this ain't working. I'd have been like, all right, maybe we could try this tomorrow. But it seems that these disciples weren't as concerned with catching fish as they were concerned about their brother. Make sure you're surrounded by someone who's your ride or die, brothers and sisters, who won't leave you alone when you're at your lowest point. Make sure you have some friends in your corner who will wait while you're waiting. Oh, my God. Anybody ever had people who were good with you when everything was going well and things were flourishing, but the ones you trust, the ones you can trust are the ones who have stuck with you while you wait? If you got some ride or die sisters with you, I just need you to give them a high five and tell them, I'm going to sit with you you while you wait. I'm a stick it out while you wait. I'm not going to be one of those going with the winds, going with every wind of doctrine that comes. If you going through something, then, baby, we going through something. I was about to say something else. If you going to fight, then I'm going to fight. That's the kind of people I need in my life. Listen, I'm getting too old for those, the shaky ones. I need somebody that's going to be there. Look, that one right there with that pink sweatshirt on, she going to ride with me. That's one of my ride or dies. The fifth verse says, he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. We live in a world of social media. Sometimes it can be good, but when it's bad, it's bad. Can I be honest? Sometimes I get sick of it. Here's the truth. Nobody is ever going to post their failures. So here we are comparing our lives to the life people show us on social media. But it's lies and deceit. The truth is that everybody has failed at something. Everybody has made a bad decision here and there. Everyone has had to repent for something. But because of this false world of social media, it has made it so difficult to live a life and be honest about your flaws, weaknesses, and failures. We have somehow succumbed to the pressures of living in a false reality. In this verse, Jesus asked them a question he already knew the answer to. He made them sit in their reality that they were failing at something they were trained to do. They were failing at something they had once thrived in. There are people in this room, if you just be honest, are in the same place these disciples were in. You are sinking in a place where you once thrived. You have skill, you have the knowledge and the talent, but for some reason you just haven't been able to catch a break. I came to tell you that Jesus is about to get involved. Oh, somebody say that Jesus is about to get involved. He's about to get involved, and he's about to make you face the reality that this will never work without his presence. He's about to make you be brutally honest with yourself. Some of us have started the business and can't get it off the ground. Some of us have started writing the book, but for years have had writer's block. Some of us have gone to school, secured the degree, but can't get the job. Jesus is saying, you can trust me with your failures. You can trust me with the embarrassment. You can trust me with the anxiety. I hear him saying, I won't scorn you. I won't hurt you. Just let me get involved. Woo. You've been waiting out here all night, and it ain't working. You've been waiting out here for years, and it's not working, but let me get involved. Somebody lift your hands and say, Jesus, I invite you into my situation. Come in. Have your way. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I feel that right now. I cast down that spirit that refuses to ask for help. Some of us need to go back and ask some of our family and friends, you know what? I've been real stubborn, but I just need you to help me do this. Ooh. All right. The sixth verse says, he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So my husband is very organized. He likes to keep everything in its place so that he's sure not to lose anything. We are always in and out of hotels in our travels, and because I'm the slowest of the two of us, there are times he just has to help me pack, all right? Most times he is the one who makes sure all electronics, iPads, computers, phones, cords, all that kind of stuff is packed up. And he has this fancy way of wrapping up cords that always drives me crazy because I can never figure out how to unravel them. So most times I get frustrated and I'm like, babe, I can't get this cord unraveled. Why do you keep doing this? His answer is real simple, that in wrapping the cord like this, it's less chance for the cord to get damaged, and it's actually easier for you to access. How? He then pulls the cord out and simply pulls on one end of the cord. And voila. voila. But me, it has taken me 2 years. I'm always like, what is going on? Do y'all see that? It looks like a knot. But actually, he's just put this one little piece there, and you unravel it. There was an important lesson in this for me. I would literally be frustrated because the more I tried to unravel the cord, the more it would tangle up. I was always thinking, how could he possibly think this is the best way? Had I just gone to him to get some instructions, life would have been so much easier for me. I came to tell you that Jesus is about to give you the formula. Oh, somebody speak that into your world. Jesus is about to give me the formula. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. I'm talking to some people this morning. You tried to figure it out. You've tried 12 steps and Google. You've tried everyone's suggestions. We have been trying it our way and wasting our time throwing our nets on the wrong side of the boat. But God is about to tell you how to throw your net on the right side. Somebody scream, Jesus is about to give me the formula. Now, this was a hard pill to swallow because I know we want to hear that Jesus is about to come down off of his throne and do it for us. But I love that Jesus stood on the shore and gave them instructions on how to do it themselves. Come on, we're not babies anymore. Yes, he's going to be right there with you, but he's not going to do it for you. I'm not the best cook in the world, but my husband eats it. I found that if I follow the recipe step by step, my cooking tastes just as good as the person who wrote the book. I came to tell you that within the next few weeks, God is about to start speaking to you and giving you divine instruction, and all you have to do is follow the recipe. Give somebody a high five and tell them just follow the recipe. He's about to give you the formula. All you got to do is follow the recipe. No more whining, no more complaining, no more falling out, no more getting frustrated, no more getting attitude. Get on your knees, get in the face of Jesus, and while you're at his feet, he's about to give you the recipe that's going to help you fulfill your dreams and your purpose. Somebody lift up your voice and give God a shout in this room. You believe that God's about to give you the divine formula. Some of y'all need to pull those journals out while you're in your prayer time and begin to write down what God is instructing you to do. Because I declare that as you write, you're going to see these things come to pass in your life. Does anybody believe the word of the Lord today? When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. It is mind-blowing the amount of people who reach out to me saying, what's the formula for what you do? How did you do it? How did you accomplish that? And my answer remains the same. I just want to please the heart of God. I need to stay at his feet to receive instruction for my life. It is the enemy's job to keep us off focus and distracted. He understands that if we ever posture ourselves at Jesus' feet, we will receive wisdom on how to move forward in our purpose. In this passage, we aren't dealing with some amateurs. These men were professionals and very skilled fishermen. Can I tell you that no matter how much education, knowledge, or experience you may have, your understanding is nothing without divine instruction from the Holy Spirit. It is indeed possible to achieve success with just education, knowledge, and experience, but there is another level of favor that is placed on your life when you allow God to give you the formula for greatness. As I was preparing this message in the spirit realm, I felt many of our hearts in this room. People have considered you the underdog. People have counted you out because of what you don't have and what you lack. But I came to speak a word from God today, letting you know that Jesus just skipped you to the front of the line and your wait is over. Y'all ever been to one of those theme parks like Disney World. That's terrible. Like, the lines are like 3 hours long. But they have this thing called a fast pass. God just downloaded a fast pass in the spirit. Oh, y'all ain't praising him right. God just downloaded a fast pass in the spirit. And I declare that some of us who felt like our time was up, God is saying, no, you're just about to get started. I'm moving you to the front of the line. I'm putting you in front of people right now who have been waiting, who've been talking about you, looking back at you saying they ain't gonna never do it. They ain't gonna never make it. There's no way they're gonna get up here. But God is saying, I'm gonna jump you to the front of the line. Somebody scream, fast pass, fast. You got a fast pass. Yes, Lord. The latter part of this verse says that they caught so many fish that they were unable to haul the fish in. I'm about to shout, y'all. Can I tell you that the plans you had to carry this harvest aren't big enough? Go back to your plan. Go back to your plan. Rip it up and write out another one, because what's about to come is bigger than what you expected. I'm going to say it over here. I said, what's about to come is bigger than what you expected. And the net that you have will break if you don't go out and get you a bigger one. Somebody say, I'm expecting something bigger now. I'm expecting something greater now. I need you to go do a bigger plan, because God is about to give you something greater. Dr. Arisha, I heard God say to me loud and clear, yes, I'm going to do everything through New Light that I promised the apostle, but the thoughts that I think towards you are bigger than that. Can we just take a moment and give God a shout of praise for the fresh wind of God that is about to blow through New Light? Somebody give God a praise for the fresh wind of God that's about to come through New Light. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm causing a fire to start burning in your spirit. And as you speak, it's like little fires are going to begin to catch hold. One of my friends told us the other night, I hope I say this right, he said, if you set yourself afire, people will come from every nation to watch you burn. Where is New Light in this place? Can I get y'all to raise up a praise? I declare that a fire like never before is about to hit this house. And God is drawing people from the north, the south, the east, and the west to watch this fire burn. There is something peculiar about this house. The Lord says, from the moment that I established it from the earth, I have caused there to be something peculiar about this house. And people will watch you from every nation. They will glean from you from every nation. The Lord says, what I've called you to establish in the earth, pastors are watching you, not just female pastors. Pastors are watching you. The Lord says, I am making you a template. And they will come from near and far. I even hear the Lord say, Pastor, oh my God, can I do this? I heard the Lord say, Pastor Tina, I'm going to cause you to raise up schools of administration. People will come to hear you teach them how to do administration at their churches. And Pastor Prashia, the Lord says, if you do what I tell you to do, they will come. He said, they will come. He also says, I need you to finish the prayer journal. There are people who are waiting on this journal to come. I see 365 days of not just prayer, but you will teach them how to write their own. Ew. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to do that for a moment. Can we raise up a praise for the Hilliard family, who for many years have been examples? And I got one more. Apostle, the Lord said to me that you will live to see everything that he promised you. He said you will live to see everything he promised you when you established this ministry years ago. The Lord says, I've not forgotten, and you will see it with your eyes. Oh, come on, y'all. Give God a shout of praise in this room. I got to get out. This is the last thing. I'm sorry. I have to read this. I wrote this down this morning, Dr. I. He said, I have given you keys in this city, in government, in entertainment, and in finance. He said that to me this morning. I was on a plane. I was trying to go to asleep and I couldn't. I'm going to say it again. I've given you keys in this city, in government, in entertainment, and in finance. And you will see it come to pass in Jesus' name. Somebody shout if you believe the word of God. Oh, I just felt a shift in this house. I just felt a shift in this house. My final point is, Jesus is about to show me what crazy faith can do. We're talking about men who were trained to do this. Men who were skilled at fishing. Men who had done this for years. They knew the tricks of the trade. They knew the rules. So if Jesus was telling them to do something that worked for catching fish, don't you think that they would have tried it by then? Sometimes faith means you have to trust God when he tells you to do something that doesn't make sense. I can imagine that it didn't make sense to toss their nets on the right side. I'm pretty sure that they had exhausted all of their tricks and tried every way that had worked in the past. Let me ask you this. Can you trust God when he asks you to do something that doesn't make sense? I remember 2000.